This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What does it take to improve maternal health for everyone? It takes a new model of care for mothers and babies. It takes deeper connections in patients' communities and comprehensive care before pregnancy and far beyond. It takes Philadelphia's only hospital exclusively dedicated to women and families to reinvent maternal health care and improve outcomes for all women. It takes Temple Health.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And across to Van Riemsdyk, chipped by Ovechkin, low here to Dubois. And Van Riemsdyk gets the shot through, rebound, he scores! Alex Ovechkin on the rebound! Airson went down! It's 8-88 for the Great Eight with 5:35 to go in the first. It's 1-0 Washington!
John Walton on the call last night on Caps Radio. He is within six of tying the great one, seven goals away from Gretzky's all-time mark. Right now, the pace will put him at home to break the record. I'll tell you when and what time coming up here in a moment. Good morning, everybody. 1 hour again today before we get you to the NCAA tournament pregame show and then all of the action all day and all night. We've got Maryland here at 4:35 today. Pregame show at 4 with Johnny and Naki out in Seattle as the Terps open up with Grand Canyon University. Maryland's a 10-point favorite, but man, Kevin Willard yesterday, if you haven't heard what he said about his athletic director and the speculation about him leaving to take the Villanova job. Next segment with my thoughts on what's going on out at Maryland. Not great timing for all of this with a game today, but the future of the athletic department and the head basketball coach are in doubt as the Terps begin play in the tournament. As a four seed, with a team good enough to make some serious noise, we'll see if the shenanigans surrounding Willard and the AD become a distraction or not later on today. Alex Ovechkin got the first goal of the game, as you heard John Walton call, 14-plus minutes into the first period last night against the Flyers, a game that the Caps won. Man, they are a good hockey team. I don't know how it will play out in the postseason. I can tell you the odds for some reason don't reflect that the Caps have the best record in hockey in terms of Stanley Cup odds. But right now, with 888 goals, six away from tying Wayne Gretzky, seven away from breaking Gretzky on his current pace, which is about 0.66 goals per game, he's just over 10 games away from breaking the record. So 11 games from now would put that moment at home on April 13th against Columbus, a Sunday night game that is currently scheduled to start at 6 p.m. The day before, they are in Columbus for a nationally televised 12:30 afternoon game. But remember, Monumental's got the call on all of these games as well, even if they are nationally televised games. One more goal. I think Ted Leonsis told me when he was on with me a few weeks ago that the commissioner and Wayne Gretzky will start to travel with the team, with the Capitals, when he gets to within five of, I think he said, breaking the record, not tying the record. I think it's breaking the record. So two more goals would put him within five of breaking the record. So good for Ovechkin, good for the Caps. My God, I mean, the season they are having, totally unexpected. 100 points. That is 12 better than anybody in the Eastern Conference. Carolina's got 88 points, and then in the other division, Florida and Toronto each have 87. Out west, Winnipeg also having a surprising season. They've played one more game than the Capitals, but they are at 100 points as well. So the President's Trophy on the line here over the final 13 games for the Capitals. We know what that means. Virtually nothing. If anything, it's typically a hex on the team that has it. But the Caps right now are the absolute, you know, minus 30,000 to be the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. They really can't be caught. They can be mathematically, but probably won't be caught. They'll end up going into the NHL playoffs in mid-April, mid to late April, as the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. All right, we do have one tournament day in the books. And I got to tell you, man, that was a boring day of basketball. Now, if you're betting the tournament, it never gets really that boring. And I was betting the tournament yesterday. I'm really talking about the quality of basketball, the compellingness of the games. The smell test yesterday, Denton, 3-3. Started off well early with an easy Creighton winner and a Purdue winner. The one that frustrated me the most was Kansas, and I'll get to them in a little bit. But, you know, of the 16 games yesterday, 11 were decided by double digits. There were two games that were not really that competitive. They were 9-point differences. There was one 7-point finish. That was Kansas-Arkansas. That game actually was tight down the stretch. And really, there was one sort of last-second moment, and that was it, of the 16 games. And it came very late last night, where Michigan blew a big lead at halftime against UC San Diego, but held on to win the game. But UC San Diego had, at the very end, a 3-pointer to tie the game and force overtime. It was missed. Michigan rebounded it. They held on to win 68-65. The big shot in that game was Trey Donaldson. Once again, man, he had the big game winner against the Terps on Saturday in the Big Ten tournament. Michigan finally gave up the lead with about 2:15 left, and Donaldson came down and buried a three. Michigan took the lead. They didn't give it up. They won 68-65. That was the only game, Denton. Like the Clemson-McNeese State game, the final score was 69-67, and it was pretty wild to watch Clemson work their way back into it. They were down by 22 points with 7 minutes to go in the game, and they ended up losing by two. Now, the 2-point margin, it was a layup at the buzzer. They were down four, so there was no real dramatic ending in that game. They had chances. You know, they had that. They were down 12 with about 40 seconds to go and got it to three pretty quickly, and had some chances. But really, I thought a dreadful day of basketball in the NCAA tournament. There were no real buzzer beaters. There was no, you had three, you know, seeded upsets. I mean, a lot of people liked McNeese's chances against Clemson to begin with. A lot of people loved Drake going into that game, the 11-6 game against Missouri, and then Creighton over Louisville, the game that kicked off the day. First of all, I mean, just totally unfair. Louisville had a home court advantage in that game. That was ridiculous. Creighton played great, man. Creighton is so well coached. I mean, Doug McDermott can just flat out coach, and they just always have shooters. They went on a stretch in the first half where the game was tight, where they made 4 threes in a minute six. And just totally took the game over. But not a lot of drama. And I'll tell you, I didn't look this up. And maybe you have read something about it, Denton, or maybe some of you have read something about it. Years ago, and I want to say 15 years ago, maybe as recently as 10 years ago, they would roll out new basketballs, brand new basketballs, for each of these tournament games. In fact, the basketballs were not the typical balls that the teams had even used, but they were not broken-in basketballs. They were not, you know, easy-to-handle basketballs. Anybody that's ever played basketball understands the difference in feel of a basketball that's worn in versus one that is brand new. And coaches complained about it. They said, why would we introduce brand-new basketballs for the most important games of the season where we're having difficulty handling the ball and shooting the ball? So I thought that they had moved away from that and had gone to basketballs that were more worn in and more similar to the balls used during the regular season and during the conference tournaments. I'm telling you, watching the games yesterday, the ball handling was poor. The shooting at times wasn't great. And I'll take you to the Kansas-Arkansas game, man. That was really hard to watch from a Kansas standpoint in particular. Kansas only ended up with 16 turnovers in the game, Denton. It felt like 26 watching it. They had a stretch at the end of the game where they had a 3-point lead, and they turned the ball over on 6 of the next 8 possessions. They never got a shot off. Terrible passing, terrible ball handling. It looked honestly like they were, you know, handling a hot potato. Like it was not comfortable. Now, they had a rough season. This Kansas was ranked number 1 to start this season. They ended up being a 7 seed, and they are out in the first round. And I gave them out yesterday as a smell test pick because anybody that watched them this year saw that they were not a good team, and people were wondering, how could they be favored by 5? And that's why I gave them out as a favorite over an Arkansas team that had been playing much better basketball and had started terribly in the SEC 0-5 and worked their way back to an NCAA tournament berth in Calipari's first year. Now they have an actual win. God, is Kansas terrible. And Hunter Dickinson was horrendous in this game. I mean, he threw 2 passes down the stretch. Almost looked like he was throwing the game. He threw it right to the other team. Right to the other team. That was a terrible ending of a basketball game to watch. Even though the score was tight. The score was actually tight down the stretch. Kansas had come back. They had taken a 3-point lead. I was thinking I actually had a chance. But I'll tell you, watching that, we were texting back and forth during this game. I don't know how you felt, but even when Kansas took a 3-point lead, I'm like, God, they suck. They can't possibly hold on to this lead, which means they're not going to cover. I mean, I was, you know, hoping that Arkansas would throw up all over themselves down the stretch. What a bad basketball team Kansas was.
All that money.
There were, right?
All that money for Hunter Dickinson. And nothing. Like, aren't you so glad that Maryland didn't spend all that money for him? The guy that tried to be a pseudo-villain last year, which did not work, and they got crushed in the NCAA tournament, only to then come and get, not crushed, but get embarrassed by Arkansas Calipari in his first year after being ranked preseason number 1.
What did he end up getting? $2 million a year for 2 years?
I think it was $2 million a year, and he has zero NCAA tournament wins to show for. Or he has one. They got one last year, and then they got whooped by Gonzaga.
Yeah, they got crushed by Gonzaga in the second round. They're a bad basketball team. I mean, I understand that they are, you know, have 20-something wins. They're Kansas. I mean, he did a bad job in the portal. Some of those players can't play, period. But Dickinson was as much of the problem last night as anybody else. He got crushed on the glass. He missed every inside look he had. He knocked down a three early. He turned it over four times. I mean, I looked at the stats this morning, and I was fully expecting to see like 20-plus turnovers in the game. It was 16, but man, so many of them came down the stretch. So that was, I didn't think, very good basketball. Of the games that I intently watched, and I sat and watched a lot of basketball, let me mention, I've already talked about Creighton. Let me just mention Purdue and High Point, because High Point, you know, certainly had some chances in this game. Purdue is not playing well. They get McNeese State next, right? It's McNeese that they play. So they may get to the Sweet 16, because, you know, we see this all the time, right? You know, a 12 over a 5, and then, you know, the emotion of that win. And by the way, they were hanging on for dear life at the end. But Purdue, Trey Kaufman Wren, overrated, in my opinion. And then Braden Smith was, I believe, a first-team All-American, and he was the Big Ten Player of the Year this year. And I do like Braden Smith. I think he's a really good player. He's still got a year left, too. He's only a junior. But his shooting in recent games has been so bad. You watch a lot of college hoops, too. You know how good Braden Smith has been. He's been their starting point guard since he was a freshman. They were in the NCAA tournament final last year against UConn. He was 6 of 19 yesterday. He was 5 of 18 in their quarterfinal loss to Michigan in the Big Ten tournament. He was 3 for 10 in their second round Big Ten tournament game against USC. So that makes him 14 of 47 in his last three games. You got to shoot it better than that when you're the Big Ten Player of the Year. You know, that you're playing USC, you're playing High Point. I know Michigan is tougher, but if they don't get better offensive play from Braden Smith, they could go out in the second round. So I watched them because I had them. They did cover. I'll tell you, man, Wisconsin's so hard to guard. John Tanjay, is he a first round pick? I haven't looked at, every time we look at mocks, we're looking at Derek Queen, and we've looked at Danny Wolf. Is Tanjay a first round pick? He should be, right?
I will take your word. I don't care about NBA mock drafts at this point.
Yeah, that's fair, but I'm just curious as to whether or not he's being viewed as a first round pick. He's a really good player. He shot 1 for 14 in the Big Ten title game. What else was interesting to me? VCU, BYU can just flat out score. They have so many options. And that big point guard that they have, I haven't watched a lot of BYU, but that freshman point guard who's tall and lanky, I think he's Russian, he can really play. That was kind of it. UCLA looked impressive. Gonzaga really looked impressive. You know, they're a team that can just flat-out score no matter who they have. You know, this was not a great, great year for Gonzaga. They were 25-8, but they did not win their regular season title, even though they won the tournament. But they led Georgia, I think, early in that game, 21-3, I think it was. I think it was 13-0, and it got to like 20. No, it was more than that. It was 27-3, Gonzaga, with 11:43 to go in the first half. That's crazy. The other team that couldn't score yesterday was Clemson in the first half. I mean, they were stuck on 8 with like 4 minutes to go in the first half. I don't know. It could have been the basketballs. Could have been the basketballs. If they went back to like brand new basketballs that hadn't been broken in, how stupid is that? So today we get 16 games. What's the game? Give me your quick impressions of day one.
It was kind of boring. It was kind of lousy. Like, there weren't really a lot of super, super good games. I mean, I loved watching Creighton beat Louisville because I have a suspicion, Kevin, if you allow me to put my tinfoil hat on. The committee got UNC in as a distraction point to give Louisville a home game, because in any other year without the UNC drama, the thing they're getting crucified the most for is giving an 8 seed a home game on the same side of the bracket as the number one overall seed. You just would never do that. So I love that Louisville could not do anything against Creighton. But like, I thought Kansas and Arkansas was fun until Kansas started to be Kansas. They, for whatever reason, they are scared of the final 4 minutes of the game. It was in this one, but that seems to be the common thread throughout their entire season this year. They just can't close games out. And then, man, Missouri just can't score. Yeah, the SEC got a bunch of its teams through, but like Georgia, who I'd watched zero times this year, getting demolished by Gonzaga made sense. But Missouri against Drake, I thought that was going to be the one that, because everybody is riding with Drake, that Missouri was going to come and crush them, and they could not get the ball in the basket. It was actually kind of embarrassing down the stretch.
What was the SEC's record yesterday? Pretty good, right?
It was pretty good. They only lost Missouri and Georgia.
And then Texas on Wednesday night.
Yeah,
but so they've got 11 teams left.
Yeah, everyone else took care of business. We'll see how that goes today, though.
Big Ten was 4-0 yesterday.
Perfect.
With Purdue, Wisconsin, UCLA, and Michigan winning. And they've got four more to go. The ACC, Louisville, Clemson, done. That leaves Duke and Carolina, right? That's it.
Yeah, Duke and Carolina. I can't imagine that the SEC loses many teams today. Maybe Oklahoma that has UConn, but like all the other SEC, like Kentucky and Troy, Florida and Norfolk State. Ole Miss and UNC. UNC could take down Ole Miss, but like Alabama's not losing to Robert Morris. That's just not happening.
Nah, although Alabama can't guard anybody. That line's interesting. All right, I got smell test picks. I've got thoughts on the Maryland situation. You'll hear what Kevin Willard said next.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Maryland and Grand Canyon later on today. First round of the NCAA tournament. West region, they're out in Seattle. We'll have the call of the game right here at 4:35, pregame at 4, but we'll have lots of action all day long. So if you're in your car and you're not watching games and you're out and about, keep it here on the Team 980 today. Coverage of day 2 of round 1 of the NCAA tournament starts at 11 a.m. The games start at 12:15 or whatever. So yesterday was press conference day for the Friday games. Kevin Willard took the opportunity when asked about rumors swirling about a potential job opening. There is a job opening at Villanova, and perhaps the interest that Villanova has in Kevin Willard being their next basketball coach. He took the opportunity to not only address that, but talk about the current situation at Maryland with the athletic director, Damon Evans, and himself.
I wanted to ask about the basketball, too.
Okay.
But, you know, obviously your name has come up as a candidate for various positions because Maryland has done so well this year. Have you felt compelled to address any of that with your team at all about your future at Maryland?
Yeah, I've addressed it with them directly. I'll say this. Damon and I talked on Sunday night, right before Selection Sunday. He gave me a term sheet right before Selection Sunday. I really wasn't focused on it. Been focused on this team and this. Damon's talked to my agent. I talked to Damon this morning at length about where we are. Obviously, it's difficult right now because I think we know his situation. He's probably going to SMU, so it's kind of tough to negotiate with somebody that's maybe not here. But I need to make fundamental changes to the program. That's what I'm focused on right now. That's why probably a deal hasn't got done, because I need to see fundamental changes done. I want this program to be great. I want it to be the best in the country. I want to win a national championship. But there's things that need to change. Sit there and say, okay, wait a second. For us to be really successful, X, Y, and Z needs to change. And first and foremost, I need to make sure that we are where we are with NIL and rev share is not where we've been with NIL in the past 2 years. We've been one of the worst, if not lowest, in the NIL in the last 2 years. So that's first and foremost. I also have to make a fundamental change where I can do the things that I want to do with my program. You know, I wanted to spend an extra night in New York this year to celebrate Christmas with my team, and I was told that we can't do that because it's too expensive. So I don't know how we can be a top-tier program and I can't spend one extra night in New York because it's too expensive. So there's fundamental things I'm fighting for my team and my program. It's not so much about me. It seems to, I want to make sure that whatever we do going forward, we're successful. It's a little difficult right now, I'm not going to lie. But I'm confident that no matter who we're negotiating with at the end of the day, this program is going to be in a great spot. And that's really my focus, is this tournament, this team, and this program.
Kevin Willard yesterday, 2.5 minutes on the state of the program. He could have easily just said, yeah, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to answer that. We've got a game to play tomorrow. I think a lot of people would have. Look, college athletics has gotten sideways, and we've seen a lot of shenanigans this time of year in recent years. Will Wade's coaching McNeese State. I understand it's McNeese State, and he's taken a job at NC State. But you got a portal that opens on Monday, and you got the tournament just underway. I mean, the sport is messed up seven ways to Sunday in terms of the calendar. But he could have easily just said, yeah, I appreciate the question. We are dialed in on Grand Canyon tomorrow, so I'll take any questions on that. But he didn't. And I don't want to say and use the description he went, you know, scorched earth or he was ruthless, but there was a bit of extreme there because what he did, if you're not following along, is he showed his athletic director the door and said, see ya, and helped him out the door. He announced his athletic director leaving to go to SMU. That's actually the craziest part of it. I know there's been a lot of discussion about the Christmas thing in New York. They beat the hell out of Syracuse on a Sunday. It was December 21st. They wanted to stay for an extra night, go see the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Plaza, hang out with the team, and they were told you can't do that. That is small time, just so everybody understands. You know, at a big program that is supposedly a big-time basketball program, staying an extra night in New York to give your team, by the way, there's no class. You know, they've already taken their finals. They're on vacation. To spend an extra night is not typically a big deal, but it is at Maryland, apparently. So, I'll start with this. The reporting on this, Jeff Ehrman's covered the team for years. InsideMDSports.com. Jeff has covered Maryland basketball and Maryland football, Maryland athletics, but primarily basketball and football for years. And yesterday, his reporting was that Damon Evans is, you know, a candidate and will likely leave to become the new athletic director at SMU. He also reported that Kevin Willard told his team that he's staying. Now, you know, what else are you going to tell your team the day before a big game? You know, you don't want distractions. Now, keep in mind, the team he has, Julian Reese is leaving. You know, he's graduating. He has no eligibility left. Derek Queen's going to be a lottery pick in the draft. Selton Miguel has no eligibility left. The two key players are Jacoby Gillespie and Rodney Rice, both of whom need to be re-recruited and given big contracts, big money to stay at Maryland. You know, that would be a huge keep. If they could keep Rice and Gillespie, you're talking about, you know, next year, one of the best, if not the best backcourt. One of the best backcourts in the Big Ten, if not the best backcourt in the Big Ten. And it would be a great foundation for an opportunity to have another big year. No Reese, no Queen, understood. But there's a lot out there that a Gillespie and a Rice returning, you'd be able to attract the pieces. And if you get them right, because this is now not about recruiting freshmen as much as it is about recruiting the portal. That's the reporting. Jeff Ehrman, AD is going, coach is coming back. I'll tell you, me personally, and listening to Kevin sort of air everything out yesterday, I think, you know, my first reaction was, and I've known a lot about what's been going on with the athletic director for a while in terms of, you know, not just the possibility of him leaving, but also just the difficult tease that now multiple basketball coaches have had with not just the athletic director, but the entire athletic department office or a portion of it anyway. There was a real bad relationship between Mark Turgeon and Damon Evans. And I'm not so sure that this relationship currently is so much better. Probably it's not worse. It'd be hard for it to be worse. But Damon Evans has a football background, is more of a football guy, and you heard the frustration from Kevin Willard. You know, RevShare NIL not there for basketball. Maryland is not and has not done well with NIL. The RevShare stuff, the $20 million that goes to each team, you know, the majority of it's always going to go to football in a conference like the Big Ten, but they want more. Maryland is a school in which basketball for its fan base, for its alums, I guess for the students, is more important than football. It just is. It's weird. There are only, you know, a half dozen, maybe 10 of the Power Four schools in the country where basketball is more important than football. But that's clearly the case at Maryland, has always been the case at Maryland. And it still is. And look, Maryland basketball has struggled as well. They haven't gotten the results in March for a long period of time now. We've seen dwindling crowds from where they were at the height of Gary and even some of Turge's years, where you had seasons that were sold out, where they were ranked in the top five in the country going into seasons, where they sold out the entire season. That happened two or three times. But Kevin Willard just had a great year. He had a great year, and it felt like there was a lot of, you know, momentum in the Maryland basketball program that you'd want to continue. What's kind of ironic about all of this is that so many of the fans just 2 months ago, Denton, 2.5 months ago, he can't win any games on the road. He can't win any close games. What are we doing here? He's got to go. And now those same people, or certainly some of them, are like, if he leaves, the program's over. But I felt Kevin in that rant yesterday and understood where it was coming from. Maryland can be small time, man. It can be. Just at times with multiple athletic directors over a period of time, it has felt at times not as big as it should be. You know, it not as big as the revenue they're pulling in from the conference they're in. And I don't know what will happen with Kevin Willard. I think it will be a positive if the athletic department gets completely reshaped with new people, not just a new AD, but just new people in general, with more of an emphasis on the basketball program. And I think what he laid out there are things that he needs to see. Now, how serious is Villanova about Kevin Willard? I can't answer that. You know, Denton, the coaches are kind of running out here, right? Ryan Odom's going to UVA, we think, right? I mean, who else is out there that Villanova would go after?
I mean, I think I told you this earlier this week. You know, Jay Wright, you know, he's on TV right now just hanging out, having a good time.
Jay Wright is essentially, you know, he's the godfather of that program. He is, he's going to be significantly involved in the decision.
Oh, yeah, he's probably going to be what Gary is like at Maryland. We're still very much around, but not
maybe even more like Big John was at Georgetown.
Another good comparison. Well, he'll get a say, I think, but I don't think I can't imagine that he's going to step away from doing TV. It feels like the easiest
job. He's not going to step away from. He's not coming back. He doesn't want this job in this sport right now. But I think that he likes Kevin Willard. And I think that Willard is, in many ways, you know, he is a Jersey, New York, Big East guy. At Seton Hall, it was a basketball school because they don't have football. Villanova is a basketball school. We talked about this yesterday on the show, or 2 days ago, whenever it was. And, you know, the Maryland advantage isn't what the Maryland advantage used to be, which is, you know, fertile recruiting ground, lots of tradition, great, you know, arena, great fan base, the whole thing. The ACC, TV, their advantage now is there is all of that that goes along with it. But they're in a stable conference in the Big Ten. The Big East, I mean, you're reading stories last night and this morning about the Big East and the ACC merging, you know, as a possibility. So you don't know what the future of the Big East is, but Villanova has two things that Maryland doesn't have right now. They have lots of money, and it's all for basketball. Maryland's getting lots and lots of money because of their affiliation with the Big Ten, but much of it, the majority of it, is for football. So we'll see what happens. I personally feel the same way, and it's not because I'm a homer, and I am a homer when it comes to Maryland basketball. You know, I am that, but I will be critical if I have to. I was a fan as many of you know, of Mark Turgeon as a basketball coach, as a person. And I am a fan of Kevin Willard as a basketball coach and as a person. I don't want Maryland to lose Kevin Willard. I think Willard, you know, is perfect for Maryland. The issue is whether or not Maryland is perfect for him. And they've got to start thinking about things differently. And, you know, people in the higher-ups have to start hiring the right people, because it seems like it's been some time since the athletic department and its coaches have been on the same page. It certainly seems like it's been a while since that's been the case. In fact, I can't remember the last time, because certainly Debbie was awfully bright and competent, but she didn't get along with Gary. And then Kevin Anderson, no comment. And now Damon Evans for all of these years. They got to figure it out. Meantime, there's a game today. And I kind of like them today. Come out firing. I've got smell test picks. Denton and I will talk about the games we're looking forward to watching today more than any other. Debo Samuel spoke yesterday, so we got a lot more coming up. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. From Jeff. Jeff sent me this note. He sent it at around 4 p.m. Eastern yesterday. Sheehan, I don't know how you do it, but thanks. 2-0 start, and I'm going bigger on the rest of your games. Don't do that, Jeff. First of all, you jinxed the rest of the day because I was 3-3, so that means I went 1-3 the rest of the day. And if you're going to do this right and you're going to do this in disciplined fashion, which, by the way, I'm never disciplined doing this, so this is, you know, this is wishful thinking on my part. But you bet the same amount on every game, and you try to go 52.8% or better, you know, and that would give you, you know, a winning day or a winning season. We never do that because we work games into teasers and parlays, and we've got 38 prop bets and the whole nine yards. But take the six games yesterday and just leave them be. 3-3, you lost juice yesterday. That's what it was yesterday. If you went bigger on the rest of those games, it's on you. It's kind of on me, though. All right, 3-3 yesterday. It was a good start. Creighton was easy. Purdue got it done. And then VCU started the downward trend. We got A&M late, but we lost on Kansas, and we lost on, what was the other one? I can't even remember now.
Mizzou,
yeah. Drake, by the way, that guy Ben McCollum can flat-out coach Denton. He's going to Iowa, right? I think he is. He's taking Fran McCaffrey's job.
Probably, yeah.
All right. Today, four plays. By the way, there are a lot of totals that I like. I'm not going to give them out. Yesterday, unders were 9-7. I would just throw this out. I bet you unders will end up being the better play on totals today too. I wouldn't be surprised if unders go at least 9-7 or better today. But no totals today. Maybe some this weekend. By the way, I'll tweet these picks out before the first games on Saturday and Sunday. All right, let's start with North Carolina and Ole Miss. Carolina is a massive public play today. After their win the other night over San Diego State, they made 14 threes. RJ Davis was 6-for-6. They're playing an Ole Miss team coached by Chris Beard. Ole Miss is getting two. This is the most one-sided bet game of the day. So I'll take Ole Miss plus the two against Carolina. That game goes at about 4:05. Eastern. Believe it or not, there's a lot of action on Grand Canyon getting the big number against Maryland. That number is 10.5. I'll lay the 10. I'll take the better number and take the Terps minus the 10 as an anti-public favorite. Norfolk State. We know that Florida, some people believe, is the best team in the field, and certainly the public believes Florida is the best team in the field. They can really score. They're laying 28.5. This will be a big need for sports books everywhere. I don't even know what Norfolk State's nickname is. They pulled off an upset a few years ago against Missouri as a 2 seed. When I say a few years ago, that may have been like 10 years ago. Norfolk State plus 28.5. And then Arizona's laying 14 and the hook against Akron. Public loves Akron. They can really score. The total in this game is 168. I'll take Arizona and lay the 14.5. Four plays. That's it. Although I like a lot of unders today. A lot of unders. The Bama under, not an official play. The Arizona Akron under. Public loves overs on days like today. And I don't know if they're using these new balls. Just the ball handling, the shooting just didn't seem right yesterday. Ole Miss plus 2, Maryland minus 10, Norfolk State plus 28.5, and Arizona minus 14.5. Those are your four selections. Denton, do you have a favorite play of the day?
I feel really good about UNC laying 1.5 against Ole Miss. I think that's the game outside of
Liberties.
You're
on the opposite side.
I'm on the opposite side, but I think that's the game outside of Liberties that I'm most excited about today.
I would say that that's also the game, and it starts basically at the same time Maryland starts, so I won't be watching that intently. But in terms of the matchups, that's a good one. Vandy St. Mary's is a good one. Don't be surprised if Troy gives Kentucky a tough time today. All right, hour in the books. Done. We're done for the day. Hoops coming up. Pre-game show. Games all day. Back on Monday. Enjoy it.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.